For Nerds by Nerds production.
Hello, nerdos, and welcome back to another frightening episode of the For Nerds by Nerds podcast. We are still in year number four of the Halloween Spooktacular, and returning to the show to talk about the Power Rangers Halloween episode, Trick or Treat, is our good friend of the show from the Comic Book Keepers podcast, it's Lance. Hello, buddy.
Hey, Josh, what's going on?
I'm so happy you're here. I can't wait to talk about this.
Yes, this was a trip down memory lane.
This is akin to last year, our last Spooktacular. You came on by and we ran down the Boy Meets World Halloween, not Halloween special.
The Halloween special that dropped in
February or whatever it was. But this time around, this is actually a Halloween episode.
Yes, very much so.
And me and Lance both love Power Rangers. And I had a time with this. It was so much. I don't have a ton of nostalgia for things, but I mean, right from the get-go, I was like, hell yeah, I remember all of this.
As soon as I heard just the theme music, I'm in. As soon as I hear like the first note of that Mighty Morphin theme song, I am so into the mood of the show. I still get chills when you hear like the Go Green Ranger music come on in the episode. It's so great.
I was literally like rocking out when I heard it. Because there's no like, a lot of shows they'll have like a scene in the beginning and then it'll hit the theme song. Now this just immediately goes into the theme song. And I was like, oh, hell yeah, I forgot how banging this is.
The like Power Rangers had no right to go this hard with the music of this show, because you just think of the premise of this entire thing of like you take footage from Sentai, like Super Sentai from Japan, right? You intermix it with footage from like American actors, and then you're like, it's really campy acting, it's goofy, it's just silly all around. And then they're like, all right, now we're gonna go hardcore rock music that just like melts your face off.
It's metal guitar with like kaiju sized robots fighting monsters. It's just phenomenal. So before we get into the episode, let's dive a little more into that description. For if anyone's listening, they haven't watched Power Rangers. This was a show from the early 90s about teenagers that basically became superheroes. But the way they did it was what is his name? Saban?
Yeah, Saban.
The owner. He bought the foreign distribution rights to a Japanese show that already existed. And he took all the action scenes from that and then refilmed and change stories, basically just kind of made
completely
what he had work. It somehow became the most popular kids show in the world. It was insane.
Yeah, an absolute phenomenon. Like the actors, even in the beginning, like as soon as the show came out, the actors did a meet and greet slash show in LA, and it shut down LA. Like the freeways were closed. Because it was people couldn't get to it. They had tickets for it and they couldn't get there because they were stuck in traffic for it. And the history of Power Rangers is crazy because Saban was the one that got the rights to it to do everything in the States, right? But years before that, Stan Lee from Marvel was trying to do it. Like here, he wanted to do Power Rangers. We almost got like Marvel Power Rangers like in TV. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
it was
crazy.
Really interesting. But then everyone was like, absolutely not. This is not going to go anywhere. Then Saban got it a few years later and it became like the biggest thing in the States.
Now, was it this way only for like the original, or has it continued this way? Because Power Rangers is just now ending, right? This TV show. Like there have been season after season of add on a title, Power Rangers Space, Power Rangers Neo, Power Rangers Dinosaur Force or whatever. Like is it still the same where they're just taking a Japanese show, or are they now like filming their own stuff?
I believe now they are filming their own stuff. I know with the newest thing, they're filming their own stuff because I think the newest iteration in their second season, they've like redesigned the suits and that's like the original design for them. If I'm not mistaken, I haven't stayed too close with it, but for the original, for Mighty Morphin, it was the first few seasons they had like all the footage from Super Sentai and then they started filming things like with them in their actual suits. And they've kind of mixed around with it, but I believe now it's just completely filmed. They're not using Super Sentai footage.
Yeah, yeah. Because I did watch, there's like a like partner episode of this in the following season where some of the characters come back. And it's not the same storyline exactly, but it is when Lord Zedd comes in, and I know the production value is much higher.
Yeah.
And even the, like, even the, when they're in their costumes, it is. So I'm like, I wonder if they just got the suits and filmed their own stuff for this because it looks so much better.
Yeah. Well, you can tell when, so when Mighty Morphin started to film their own things, even with the Rangers in the suits, you can tell because the Yellow Ranger is clearly a man in the beginning. And then it's clearly a woman actor in the costume later on in seasons of Mighty Morphin.
We'll definitely have to have you back on and we'll just do an entire Power Rangers episode because I have so much to say.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And one of the biggest things, my biggest takeaway from this episode is I think that I am going to start doing reaction videos to shows from when we were kids because...
Oh, yes.
As much as I enjoyed this, this episode was batshit crazy.
Oh, I have a plethora of notes ready to talk about stuff over on the side.
Well, you hit it. You walk us through this episode at whatever pace you'd like, and, gotcha. And we will get into this.
Yeah, yeah. So like you already mentioned, so the episode is called Trick or Treat, and it's called Trick or Treat because, quote, it is the most popular game show in America. Josh. Was the studio quality something you would consider to be the best, most popular game show in America?
The studio audience was about 15 people. And the premise of the game show, not that they tell you what it is, you just have to watch and find out, is somehow you quiz the host, you ask him questions, and if you can stump him, you get a point. He doesn't seem very bright.
Everyone's getting cars on this show.
And you're telling me a Halloween-themed game show is the most popular game show
year-round
in the country all year round? I mean, I would love it, but this was horrible. It was like a mixture of Jeopardy, but then there was like events you had to do.
Yes. Yeah, it was... Oh, like it's akin to what was that family show on Nickelodeon where
Double
families,
Dare?
Double Dare. It's like Double Dare mixed with Jeopardy, mixed with what was that other one I was thinking? Whatever. It was a dumb game show, which made no sense. And you could just ask insane questions to stump the host, but instead they like the first question Kim asks is like, who are the Power Rangers? I'm like, okay, that's a great question. You don't know the identity of them. So that works out.
When I was watching it, I was like, does anyone know the Power Rangers exist? Because
oh yeah, they
you never really see them. But I mean, I guess there are 150 foot tall robots fighting in the city. So everyone must know they're real.
Well, there's definitely like, because there's like news footage of them fighting before they get into the Megazord and everything. So it makes sense. Like, people are going to know who you are if your giant robot smashes their house as you walk through the neighborhood.
It is very true. We have to take the briefest pause to discuss the Pink Ranger, Kimberly.
Yes.
Has there ever been a character that more young boys were in love with simultaneously ever in television history? I don't know a single person from our generation who this wasn't their first crush.
Yeah.
Like, everybody wanted to marry this woman.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 100%.
She is an angel come to life. She's just perfect. And and she is the contestant on Trick or Treat with is it Skull?
The Skull. Yep.
Skull of Bulk and Skull, the two idiot. I don't even know. They're not villains.
I would consider them, they're the comedic relief slash antagonist. Like, because they're trying to be the bullies of the school. But I was like watching this episode, I was like, these dudes would absolutely be the ones being bullied by the bullies of a school.
Yeah, they're just kind of losers, but they talk a lot of shit. But they're not physically intimidating it at all because, I mean, any one of these people could snap their neck at a moment's notice.
Yeah, pretty much. Something that we need to talk about, too, is the fact that, so, like, at this point in time, the Rangers are like, what, sophomores? So they're, like, 15, 16? And how in the world are they going on a game show to win a car when you absolutely cannot even, you can't win anything until you're 18. So how are they going to win a car in this competition?
That is true. That's a good point that I did not think about. There are things in this show, and I know they happen in every single episode, that I definitely noticed as a kid and I could never put my finger on why they like stood out. But now as an adult, I'm just like, oh, like, it's the acting. It's the way the dialogue is, like, directed to them to deliver. Like, it's not bad. It's not the actor's fault.
Right.
They're definitely told to do it this way. But, like, just some of the weirdest out-of-nowhere storylines. Kimberly's like, hey, I'm going on the world's most popular game show. It's on Saturday. Could you come? And Tommy's like, I have my inner city karate tournament. Like, just so out of nowhere. And like, that's just a normal thing to just be happening.
As a kid, you're like, yeah, of course they're going to be in karate tournaments. But now as an adult, like looking at this material, I'm like, that's completely unfair because like, even though they're not in their suits, like, Rangers get stronger for being Rangers. So in any fight, literally, like, Tommy could just, like, punch a dude and potentially blow his head off. Like,
well, the karate competition just seems to be showing off your skills.
Yes.
Not actually, like, fighting anybody. It's just like, get out there, do some kung fu to the air, and then we'll see who's the best. It's also the fact that, like, this show must have made so much money because its budget could not be very high. You're using, like, stock footage, and you only really ever have two locations. In this episode, well, three. You have an outdoor location. You have the youth center, is it, that they hang out with? The restaurant place.
Yeah, it's called the Juice Bar Youth Center.
Which is where Tommy's karate tournament is clearly being held, yet they don't tell you that it's where it's being held, but you can tell it by the walls.
It is where everything is held in Angel Grove. It is gymnastic competitions. It is their local gym. It is where they have the martial arts tournaments. Everything happens at Ernie's.
There are more people at this karate tournament than there are at the world's most popular game show.
That is true.
But anyways, back on track. We're at a game show. Kimberly's winning. All of her team. This is something I love that is in every Power Rangers episode. They are always dressed color coded to what, like, they're supposed to be incognito. No one could tell I'm the Blue Ranger. I wear blue every single day, no matter what the occasion.
I think that if you rewrote Power Rangers with Zordon being somebody that would think of these things, he would just be like, you morons, why are you color coordinated all the time? Like, this makes no sense. Stop doing this.
There's a part later that we will get to where I think Zordon definitely should have, like, rang them up and been like, what the fuck are you doing? we will get there.
Yeah, for sure. So, basic premise. So, Kimberly's on trick-or-treat. The grand prize is a car going up against Skull. And during this game show, Rita has had one of the monsters go down and plant rotten pumpkin seeds that are going to eventually grow enough to become the pumpkin rapper who is going to be the monster of the episode. But as she was talking about that, I realized, I think this is one of the very few times where a monster was not created by Finster for an episode.
Oh, yeah, that is true. Yeah, it's very weird. They don't show that happen. They just say, yeah, we already did that. Like, we already planted the pumpkins. And she's like, oh, okay.
Planted the pumpkins.
Yeah, that's what Finster's not even in the background or anything in this one.
I didn't notice, like, because you see Goldar, you see Rita, you see Babu, and oh man, what's the other one? It's Babu,
the tall,
and
lanky monkey one.
Yeah, Babu is the tall, lanky one, and then there's
and the fat, chubby.
Yeah, one. Yeah. I can't. Wow, man. I need to. I feel bad for not remembering that. I need to go back and go through my Power Ranger lore. It's gonna hit me as soon as we stop recording. But anyway. There is now a stinky pumpkin patch that Tommy's walking through, and he's just like, wow, these things smell real bad.
It's so weird. Everybody's at the game show, and then it just cuts to Tommy outside in a pumpkin patch that has a lot of smoke, and he goes, man, where'd all these rotten pumpkins come from? And then it cuts away. It's like, what the fuck?
There's a lot of cutting very quickly with this. And here's like the point of the episode. So Tommy's walking through this pumpkin patch. All he does is say, like, where these rotten pumpkins come from, and he's just continuing to walk. Rita's like, oh no, he's gonna mess with the pumpkins, send putties down. If she
what's he doing there?
Yeah.
Seemingly nothing, walking. Rita. He doesn't seem to be doing anything.
Well, clearly you put the pumpkin patch in the one street of this, or the one part of this park that exists in the city that is towards the juice bar, because it's the only location they ever go to. And you decide to, rather than just letting him continue to walk by them, to send putties to maybe alert him that something is going on involving Rita Repulsa.
Yeah, he thinks, like, hey, just some normal pumpkins here. And then a bunch of monsters come out of nowhere. And he's like, oh, shit, this must be Rita's doing. And this is my favorite part of the entire episode. And it is right back to what I said about it's the way they say it. Tommy calls Zordon and he goes, Rita's up to her old tricks again. And so Zordon goes, I think your hunch is correct, but go to your karate tournament. And then there's a pause. There's the longest pause. Like, that's the end of the sentence. And then he goes, we have to reserve your energy, so we can't use it right now, but maybe later.
Yeah.
But it's so weird. These pauses they always take. The actors aren't strong enough for these type of setups to where it seems like the actor's doing something wrong, but they're really not.
It's just really weird. Like, everything that's going on, like the way they write things to fit in, because it makes no sense for a lot of it. But I understand why at that point Zordon's like, we need to reserve your power, because at this point there is a limited amount of times that Tommy can morph into the Green Ranger to do things, because he is now no longer under the control of Rita Repulsa, and so his power is draining. But yeah, there's just a lot of weird things. It's like, oh yeah, There's something horrible going on in this park. Just go to your karate tournament. This is probably going to be fine, right?
Yeah. Do we call any of the four other Power Rangers just sitting on a bench watching their friend at a game show? Nah. We definitely know this space witch is up to something, but we'll see what happens.
So at that point, they pan back abruptly to the game show. That's going on. Kim is winning. Bulk and Skull are trying to cheat in order to start winning better. Like, Bulk is like mouthing questions to ask the Dracula host, which we didn't even mention. The host is dressed up like Dracula. And so they're trying to cheat. Zordon calls in because Pumpkin Wrapper is almost ripe. That's literally what they say. He's almost ripe and he's about to pop up. And so they get called back to the command center, and Kimberly has to fake fainting in order to get out of the game show. They go to the command center and they learn about everything going on with the pumpkins. And this part, like, in my kid brain, I never made this connection, but Zordon literally is like telling them everything about these pumpkins.
He's got footage of a guy that doesn't exist yet.
He sees the future. But he's like, hey, if these pumpkins get on your heads, you aren't going to be able to see or breathe. So they go down to the park, morphed. The first thing that they all do is hold the pumpkins up to their heads. I'm like, you all deserve to die.
This is the scene. I can't believe once the pumpkins were taken off their heads, Zordon didn't buzz in and be like, what the fuck? I told you, don't get these near your face.
Oh, it was so bad. It was so good. But I mean, there's also some type of connection between all the pumpkins, because Kim is the only one smart enough not to put a pumpkin near her head. She cuts off the pumpkin that's on Jason's head, and then the rest of the pumpkins fall off without anything, which I don't know if that actually happened in the Super Sentai or if they just fast forwarded all the pumpkins falling off, because they're like, we don't need to do this four other times.
Well, yeah, and it also really looks like she clearly like swung at all their heads, because there's an explosion. Yeah. The explosion that only occurs when somebody swings a weapon at another person.
So
and there's no need for it either. There's no need, yeah, besides maybe like cutting time, that they were just like, yeah, it happened on all of us.
Yeah. Well, also, like, they have blasters. They have all of these weapons that can shoot things. Like, why aren't you just shooting them instead of like being like investigating? Zordon literally just told you what happens with these things.
That's something that happens in a lot of episodes of Power Rangers, and it's something that happens in this, and it's something I definitely noticed as a kid, is that they all have specific weapons that are unique to them that they never use. They all only ever use the little dagger that is also a gun, but they never really use it as a gun very often. They only ever pull out their super cool weapons when they need to build the big super cool weapon. The Black Ranger's never just like, hey, by the way, I got this giant axe. let me start cracking
these. That's also a cannon on its own.
That's true.
Yeah, the only time I think that they actually use their individual weapons is when there's episodes where the ranger, one particular ranger, is isolated going up against a monster, and then they'll use it.
That's true.
For, like, Jason uses a sword all the time against Goldar. Like, and all of the Rangers have their own individual episodes throughout the seasons where it focuses on like something going on with their family or whatever. But yeah, they definitely have a lot more at their disposal, but they're like, no, I'm going to punch this putty in the face for the 900th time. See, and one thing I noticed this time around too, as I was watching it, and I literally wrote in my notes, there's a lot of dust on those putties.
Oh yeah, they're very dusty.
So they've either been left in a warehouse, or these putties also really do a lot of coke.
Oh, yeah, no. The coke thing is probably more accurate, the way these things act.
just like rewatch Power Rangers, but see all the villains as cokeheads and see if it makes more sense.
War on drugs. Well, they speaking of putties, they pop up with pumpkin-headed putties. And the second time I watched this episode, right before we recorded, my daughter's suggestion was the Power Rangers just need to cut all their heads off.
Yeah, good, yeah.
And I was like, correct. Yeah, that's right. You're not wrong, sweetheart.
No. Well, we also learned something right now, is that putties apparently don't breathe and can also don't actually see anything or hear anything, but they're still able to fight because the pumpkins go on their head. They're not supposed to be able to breathe or see or hear.
They have no soul, Lance.
They're fighting from, yeah, but things that don't have souls probably also need, I don't know, any basic sensory function in order to fight against high powered teenagers.
I don't think I've ever liked the putties.
I always,
mostly because it's the same thing every single time.
Right. I like the Z putties because the Rangers would just punch them in a bunch of places and then finally choose to punch them in the Z and make them explode.
I remember when that happened. I remember that big event of like Lord Zedd coming and like the Zords getting destroyed and new putties arriving, and they're so dangerous and we can't beat them. And then it's like, you just had to punch them in the Z, and then they're like, oh, okay. And then they're just killing putties left and right.
Lord Zedd's like, wow, this is a really poor function. Good job, Finster.
Like, they're freaking supposed idiot. To be better putties. They're not. They have a giant kill me sign on their chest.
It's the fail safe in case the buddies turned against Lord Zed.
That's true.
He's just like, no one will ever find out this weakness.
There are a couple of like audio, not audio mess ups, but like the dialogue was clearly read wrong and they were just like, meh, one take is good enough.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like they see the giant pumpkin in the background and his name is what? His name is
Pumpkin Rapper.
Pumpkin Rapper. But Jason says, that one's definitely Rapper Pumpkin.
And it's I didn't like, catch that. That's
no
amazing.
Need to go back and fix that.
No, don't need to do it. Don't worry about it. No one's paying attention anyway.
And right before they go to the pumpkin patch, he definitely says Smorfin time.
Amazing.
I rewound it three times. He does not say it's. He says Smorfin time.
He was snacky. He wanted to go camping.
I think he was jealous that fucking Tommy was taking his leadership role, so he just gave up.
Probably. That's also probably very true. Let's see. I wrote this note down too. I was like, I remember the pumpkins looking far more real as a kid, and they're clearly just paper mache.
They're just orange. Even the stalk is orange.
Oh, it's so good. Oh yeah. And then for Pumpkin Rapper to fully become ripe, the Rangers need to rap to it in order to wake it up.
Which they just do. It's not said, I don't believe. They just walk up and start shit-talking it in rap form.
Yes, yeah. They slam poetry, Pumpkin Rapper.
They definitely do, and it's super cheesy. And then the Pumpkin Rapper wakes up and is just like, fuck you,
horrible.
Dude.
Come at me with that weak sauce.
I did wonder, though, the second the Pumpkin Rapper pops up and he starts rapping, I never thought about it as a kid, but as an adult, I'm like, can they hear the music? Can the Power right. Rangers hear the music? Or is this guy just freestyling and they're adding music for effect?
There's just one buddy holding like a boombox in the background.
Please, somebody out there, draw that. We need that.
But I also don't understand why, because the whole thing was the putties with the pumpkins on their head just kept getting back up, and their logic was, oh, the big one hasn't been destroyed yet, so they just keep coming. But why didn't they just shoot the crap out of the big pumpkin so it never like fully came to be, and then it could have just been destroyed?
Yeah, I mean, you have somebody with an axe. Just chop it to pieces.
Turn this thing to a jack-o'-lantern, and you're good.
So Rapper Pumpkin wraps them all up, because not only does he rap, but he wraps them up in vines.
Yeah.
And he's shocking the shit out of them.
Before they go there, Zordon also tells them something very specific, because he's like, you need to be careful because he raps and rhymes so like cleverly that he distracts you, and then he wraps you in his vines and like steals your life sentence.
Like, please don't be stupid. pay attention while you're fighting this monster.
Yeah. Oh, here it is. I found it. It said, so Zordon says, Pumpkin Rapper tries to distract you with his raps and rhymes to wrap you in his vines to destroy you. So that is exactly what happens.
Zordon, spit and fire.
He should have gone up against Pumpkin Rapper. We have an eighth mile. So, of course, Zordon needs to call in the reinforcements for Tommy. And absolutely, Tommy is the last person to perform at this tournament of mixed martial arts where all you do is you swing sticks around instead of actually fighting anyone.
I want the episode where the Power Rangers are finally sick of having all their cool shit interrupted and where they're like, fucking come on, Zordon!
I got a date.
Get a job interview!
You're like, I'm 23 years old, Zordon. I gotta do my own thing.
I gotta pay my bills, man.
You don't give me health benefits.
I can't keep leaving my job early.
Giant blue-headed floating piece of crap. I need to do something. I have a mortgage. This is why you got teenagers, because we don't have anything to do after school.
the Green Ranger, he'll never not be the best Power Ranger.
Oh, it's amazing.
Ever. He looks better. He's cooler. He has the best. The only disappointing thing about this episode is similar to the fact that the villain wasn't made out of clay in the beginning, like usual. He also doesn't become big. There's no Zord. There's no Zord fight in this one.
Right.
It's very odd.
You're waiting the whole time for it. You're like, wow, there's 30 seconds left in this episode. This is going to be a really fast Megazord fight.
Especially with the Green Ranger. I'm like, fuck yeah, Dragonzord's coming.
Nope. The dragon does not eat the pumpkin. We don't get any of that stuff, which is one of the very few times I had that written down too. I feel like that's one of the very few times that we don't get a giant monster in an episode.
Yeah, it's very rare. It happens in the next one. It happens in the second one with the pumpkin wrapper. He gets big at the end of that.
Well, apparently the pumpkin wrapper distracts the writers with his raps and rhymes as well. And prevents them from knowing the formula of the episode.
Yeah, I forgot how to end it properly.
Yeah, so Tommy shows up, kicks the crap out of pumpkin wrapper, tries and like saves the day, gives them enough time to form the Mega Blaster, and then shoot the pumpkin. Pumpkin wrapper is done.
What does he say? He says, hasta la pumpkin.
Hasta la pumpkin squash brain.
I wish they had ADR the pumpkin going, what?
That's what we should do. We should dub over all these episodes.
We can definitely do that. We have the technology.
Let's just rewrite all the dialogue. Yeah.
Hasta la pumpkin squash, right? Huh?
So then we can put in all of the stuff of Zordon yelling at them the whole time. we need someone to draw the putty holding a boombox so we can insert
it. We need that. I'll go on eBay and buy a putty costume tonight.
Oh, that's the new thing. We're just moving into video content now.
Absolutely. But yeah, Tommy goes, I'm going to charge him. You guys get your super weapon together. And they're like, all right. And he just runs straight line, straight at this pumpkin man, while they assemble a very complicated weapon. And then just shoot him, and he dies.
Yep. Man. So after that's all wrapped up, we get the conclusion of the episode, and Kim and Tommy are at the juice bar. They're walking outside of the juice bar. And Bulk and Skull pull up in the car that they won by default because Kim had to leave the show. And at the exact same time that happens, a representative from the game show walks up and says, get out of the car. We've reviewed the footage and you cheated because Bulk was mouthing questions to Skull. And they take the car away. But before they go, Bulk's mummy wrappings get caught into the car and spin him out to the point where he's just in his underwear. Kim and Tommy laugh, freeze frame, end of episode.
And if that sounds odd to you, that's how most of these episodes end.
Yeah. Usually it's a freeze frame on the Rangers smiling or laughing at something that is more unfortunate than it actually should be.
At the dismay of these two gentlemen that clearly just want attention.
Yeah. There's some things going on at home for Bulk and Skull. They act out, and then they get made fun of by the Power Rangers.
Now, there is, like I said, there is in the following season, there is an episode where Pumpkin Wrapper returns. It's kind of because he's not the main focus or anything. Did you get an opportunity to refresh this one?
No, I did not get to watch the other one.
No worries. It is a Lord Zedd episode. It is a Halloween episode. Putties turn into basically little kids dressed as Power Rangers. And the Power Rangers are running some sort of trick-or-treat group. Like, we'll take kids whose parents can't take them trick-or-treating. We'll take them trick-or-treating. And I believe they all abandon their groups of children to go Power Ranger. They get called away by Zordon. He's like, abandon these small children. Angel Grove needs you. And Tommy gets stuck in some sort of graveyard hell dimension by Lord Zedd, where he has to fight like five bad guys all at the same time. But he's at this point, he's the White Ranger, so he's still badass.
Is Saba like fighting one of the monsters on its own?
No, I don't. Saba doesn't talk at all in the entire episode, I don't believe.
Oh, that's weird.
Very rare. But we do get, not only do we get the Megazord, which I don't like the second Megazord as much.
Neither do I.
I don't like it at all. Yeah, I don't like when they switched over. But I don't mind the dragon, the Tiger Zord. I think the Tiger Zord is pretty badass. And they are both in this episode, and they both kill Pumpkin Rapper when he becomes a giant.
Nice.
I don't remember him doing any rapping, though, but I did watch it like 2 weeks ago, so.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah.
I can't be certain.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Well, for Power Rangers, like, the White Ranger, that suit is actually from a completely different season of Super Sentai. Like, that Ranger over in Japan never interacted with the Mighty Morphin version of the Power Rangers. Yeah, so that's why his like, suit is completely different, and his belt has, like, those, like, square swirls that go in. That's the belt that's on all of those Rangers.
Oh, shit.
They look really cool. Like, that season, those suits, I am super bummed that they didn't switch it over, because they're, like, the whole designs are way better. It's really cool.
Do they still look like the regular, like the red, the blue, black, and they're just, like, more armored
and
stuff?
The suits are different. The helmets are way more detailed. They're still animals, but I forget which one's which, but the suits look really cool. I liked them a lot.
You have to send me a picture.
Yeah, I'll send it.
Yeah, because it's weird, because in America, they made it where the Green Ranger lost his powers and eventually came back as the White Ranger. Not what happens in the Japanese version.
Not at all.
Japanese version, Green Ranger dies. Completely different person is White Ranger.
Yes.
Fascinating what they were able to do with this basically borrowed footage and turn it into a global phenomenon.
Yeah. Yeah, they blew it up. Like, it was like, imagine Jingle All the Way, like trying to find a Turbo Man toy. That's what it actually was like for parents trying to find Power Rangers in the 90s.
Dude, I asked for these toys for years. Never got a single one, ever. Oh, my cousin used to come up from Massachusetts and had a duffel bag full of Zords and action figures and all sorts of. He had them all. And I was just like, you son of a bitch. It must be great to be an only child.
Well, that just means now you need to go out and buy, like, those legacy ones that are the exact same thing, except they're, like, die-cast.
That is true. Oh, dude, if you don't think I've sat there and waved my finger over the buy now button of the dragon dagger.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I would. I can't say it ages poorly. But I don't know, because I think nostalgia was really carrying this for me.
Oh, for sure.
I still felt exactly the same watching it. I didn't feel like it was dated. I knew the acting was bad even as a 6-year-old.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't about the acting. It was about let's see kids that are not too much older than I am become superheroes and fight monsters.
Still convinced David Yost was 35 years old. He was just as unlikable now as he was when I was. I never liked Billy. He was always annoying to me. Everything he says could be said much more simply.
He also says something in this episode. He basically is like, when Kimberly faints, he basically says the medical term for her having a heart attack.
And Dracula, who's supposed to know everything, is like, what?
He should have just asked, Dracula, what is a myocardial infarction?
Well, he does it with the pumpkins, too. He picks up a pumpkin and he says, these sound like they lack density on the inside. It's like, yeah, you mean they're fucking hollow, Billy? Like, there's an easier way to say this. Like, this is why nobody likes you.
No one wants to be the Blue Ranger.
Like, he's in the newer one, right? He's in the last season of the new one, and he was in that new movie they did. He looks exactly the same.
He does.
Still
he
like does. A 40-year-old man.
Oh, man. The cool thing is, so speaking of, like, childhood crushes, so with Kimberly, she, like, Amy Jo Johnson still looks the exact
same. Yeah,
she
looks incredible.
Yeah. It is unbelievable. Like, but the cool thing is she's returning to Power Rangers, but for the comic book, she's writing an alt-world story where it is 30 years later, because it was just the 30th anniversary of the show. So she is co-writing a comic book where it takes the place of, so she's taking the original team and aging them up 30 years, and they're like thrown into this alt world story. So it's like a dystopian Power Rangers, but they're the ages they should be if we went based on continuity.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So I'm very excited for that.
I still want to get that 30th anniversary comic.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Is
that new, or that's just a compilation?
So that 30th anniversary issue is a whole bunch of stories from creators that have been involved with Power Rangers over the last few years, since like 2016, when it got revamped by Boom Studios. And like, let's see, like Ryan Parrott has a story in there. Let's see, Melissa Flores has a story in there. The Melissa Flores' story is great. It's Tommy and Kat's wedding. And the whole issue is like Tommy reading his vows, but he's going through like all this fight sequence to get to his wedding and backstory. It's really great. It's so good. But he has a master morpher, which lets him change to all the different versions of Rangers he's been, which is awesome. And there's a really heartfelt story for Alpha 5 and Zordon, like why they're as close as they are. It's great. Let's see. And then Amy Jo Johnson has a preview basically of the comic that she's going to be writing that's coming out soon. So there's like a preview for it.
I'm definitely going to go back and buy it.
Yeah.
Lord Draken in that?
I don't think Draken shows up in there. But Draken is back in the latest issues of Power Rangers that Melissa Flores is writing. Draken is back.
Oh, hell yeah.
And he's leading a new version of Rangers called the Draken Rangers. I'm pretty sure that's what they're called.
Have they put out like a trade paperback for the Boom Studio ones?
Oh yeah, there's tons. There's hardcover collected editions. You can buy, usually they even sometimes do like big old digital bundles, and you can buy basically everything that has been released so far for a really good price. That's what I did. Humble Bundle did a sale like that, and I got everything from the start in 2016 that they basically come out through like 2021.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really want to read that because I've seen like bits and pieces in videos.
Like the comic's amazing. Down,
and I'm like, Jesus, no. I would make this a show. I would watch this now.
I've been saying for years what they should do is just take Power Rangers, have it be animated, and just do the comic storyline, because it would be phenomenal. Kyle Higgins absolutely crushed it writing it, to bring everything back, introducing Lord Draken. Lord Draken is the best character. This is the best thing to happen to Power Ranger lore in a very, very long time. So there's so much they should do. And the thing is like the show's ending and they're revamping everything. So we'll see what happens.
I really hope they would because I always wondered that because once Mighty Morphin was done and they still held on to some of the cast for what was the next one, like Neo and stuff like that.
So apparently it went to Zio.
Yeah. And then it just kept going, and I just kept waiting for it to come back to Mighty Morphin, and it just never did.
Never did.
I can't believe it. I can't believe that for 30 years consecutively it has been on and just kept evolving and changing to new stories. And I mean, I have no idea what has happened in the last 30 years, but I still want the original. I don't much care for SPD or whatever, but I will always want more of the original one. So all these streaming services, somebody's got the money. Do it.
Right.
Give us an animated series. Give us an Invincible style Power Rangers show. I would watch that every week.
Just adapt the comics and you're set. You have years and years and years of content to go through because it's phenomenal. Because Kyle Higgins revamped it in 2016. Then Ryan Parrott started writing what was called Go-Go Power Rangers, which was pre-Tommy at the beginning of it. And it was all this like in-depth backstory for all of the Rangers and their families, and really gave them depth. Like, it gets into Billy being so terrified that he morphs, but he then puts clothes over the top of him, so he feels like he's safe going out. He just doesn't have his helmet on, but he's morphed underneath his clothes. Like, it gets into like serious issues of anxiety and just fears. And it's so good.
definitely have to read this.
Yes, I strongly recommend it.
And we can't do a spooky Power Rangers episode without at least touching on something that I do want to talk about with you later, which we have privately discussed, which is the unofficial, well, unlicensed comic from a couple years ago, which is Freddy Krueger versus the Power Rangers.
Right.
What an incredible concept. What an incredible execution. If you have no idea what I'm speaking of, go look it up. It's those two things perfectly smashed together into just the most amazing thing possible. We're talking giant Jason Voorhees fighting a Megazord. I need to read it full through from the beginning to end. I've seen all like the major points, but I'm going to read it and you're going to come on High on Horror and we're going to talk about this.
I'm super excited.
Incredible. Has there been any other things like that? Have you seen anything else like that? Power Rangers versus any other or meets? Like I know they did Ninja Turtles. That was official. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. They did Ninja Turtles. Cool. Yeah, it was great. The first two volumes are fantastic, and fingers crossed for a third because there's some fun stuff coming down the line. The cool thing is that so Ryan Parrott is the one that wrote both of those volumes, and I've interviewed him multiple times now, and off mic unofficially, and I'm not going to say what he said, but he told me things that he wanted to do that he basically was told he couldn't do, and it's some crazy stuff. It was awesome. Yeah. But we recently had the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Godzilla crossover that happened that Colin Bunn wrote, that Freddie E. Williams did the art for. I actually have an original Freddie E. Williams page from the He-Man Thundercats crossover that he drew. I have it actually right in front of me right here on the wall. Let's see. There's the Power Rangers Justice League crossover that's happened.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then if you want to go older, there was like a Power Rangers Masked Rider crossover issue.
Yeah. They did that on the show too, didn't they?
They did. Yeah. I love that episode.
Yeah. In the Godzilla one, is there a Dragon Zord versus Godzilla fight?
There is a Dragon Zord versus Godzilla fight. The art is awesome. The writing, like I love Colin Bunn's writing. He's one of my favorite writers. We had him on the show like our eighth issue ever. It was amazing. I know he has this gigantic love for Godzilla. And so I think he was pitched this. They're like, if you want to write Godzilla, though, it has to be with Power Rangers. So it was like he knows a ton about Godzilla, but not too much about Power Rangers. So it shows in the issue. But like the visuals are great. The storyline, meh. Yeah. But it's just fun to look at.
Yeah, it's hard. They do a lot of Godzilla comic books, and it's like, what can you really do for storyline? It's not like Godzilla is a character. You can't give him too much story without being insanely ridiculous. Like they're doing Godzilla and Kong versus the Justice League right now,
right?
And it's like you're going for the action. I mean, mm-hmm. it isn't like Godzilla is going to give a monologue about his actions and the justice that needs to be dealt out on the Earth or whatever. But it's still cool to see. I'll take
it. For sure.
I'll take Godzilla anything.
Yeah, absolutely. I had fun with it, but then I was like, the storyline isn't great, but that's not what we're here for. We're here for giant monsters and robots.
We're here for Dragon Zord on Godzilla action.
Dragon Zord looks sick in the comic, too. It looks so good.
He's never not looked sick. It's true. Amazing.
Yeah, it's the greatest.
But hell yes, this was an incredible episode, and it's an incredible episode of Power Rangers. If you want to watch it, if you for some reason listened to this and you didn't watch it, it's free on YouTube. Just type in Power Rangers Trick or Treat. It'll pop right up. It's worth it. It's only 20 minutes long.
Yeah, and it's like season 1, episode 54.
And there's definitely a pumpkin wrapper action figure floating around. I've seen it out there. Like, so if you're at Walmart, stop on by the toy section and see if they have a pumpkin wrapper action figure, and just give it a gander. His face is upside down.
Yes.
We didn't mention that. His face is upside down.
I think I actually, so my parents, when I was growing up, my parents were very into just collecting. So when they would buy something for me as like to give me a toy, they would buy like a second one of it and just kept it in package. I think they have a sealed pumpkin wrapper still.
Holy shit. That yeah. It's got to be worth some money.
They're like, it's not a ton. I feel like a little bit later, they might be worth a little bit more, but I still have like, there's like a inbox Dragonzord, Dragon Dagger. The black and original black and gold Megazord. There's like a special edition that they came out with. But there's like a bunch of stuff like that. And then a whole bunch of like random things, a couple of like the 12 inch figures. But yeah, they just held on to it because they were obsessive. They were hoarders.
Head changers. What were those called? Face changers.
Yeah, the flip heads. Yeah, I have all the full set of the flip heads things too. Yeah, my parents were hoarders, but they were hoarders for collectibles.
Hey. I mean, there's a market for it. They could retire early.
Yeah. I think they thought they were going to retire earlier off all that stuff.
Yeah, they got a lot of Beanie Babies kicking around.
They did, in fact, have a lot of Beanie Babies kicking around. Those, if Princess Diana, if that Beanie Baby actually sold for what it was worth, man, I would be talking into a solid gold mic right now.
One day, buddy. One day you'll get your golden microphone.
Yeah.
Well, hell yeah, buddy. Thank you so much for doing this. This is a blast, yeah, as always. We should definitely come back on next year and do the other pumpkin wrapper episode.
For sure. Let's do it.
Tell the people all about the podcast. You doing anything spooky this year?
Yeah, so throughout the entire month of October, we are doing like spooky-themed episodes. So we did, let's see, we just recently did a top 5 favorite horror comics that is going to actually be coming out this week. So the week that we're recording this, it'll be out. So by the time this drops, I'm sure it'll already be out. We were planning to do Moon Knight, but that one had to get pushed because our guest wasn't able to come on. But let's see. Let me pull up our list really quick because I feel like we record so much stuff. I have to keep track of everything.
I understand.
So we did. Oh, yeah. We covered Something Is Killing the Children, which is a great series from Boom.
I have that upstairs, and I have not read it yet.
It's fantastic. You'll love it.
They made like a movie or a show for that too, right?
It's been optioned by Netflix to make a show. Yes. Yeah. Then we had Batman and Dracula Red Rain with my buddy Eamon Winkle, who is an incredible artist that I know for a fact is going to make a huge breakthrough in the comic community soon. Like, he's unbelievable.
That's a vampire Batman?
Yeah. So that's the vampire Batman storyline. But we just did the first one. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's super cool. And then we have one more that we're going to record that's horror related that'll fill in the last spot for October. But yeah, on our podcast, we cover like one comic book character series or team at a time. We do a deep dive, talk about the creators, and really give you the history of like how a certain character or series came to be. And then give reading recommendations. We do a what if segment where we take a concept from that particular issue and flip it on its head. Still my favorite what if we've ever done is with you, Josh, where we did the what if Jason Todd stole a wheel off someone else's car instead of the Batmobile, and yours will forever be my favorite, I think we ever do.
Thanks, buddy.
It's so good. But yeah, if you like comic book nerdy content, go check us out at CBKcast on all social media, and then just Comic Book Keepers. You can find us anywhere.
It's a phenomenal show. I highly recommend the Raven episode. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. That's a really fun one.
I love every episode that I listen to. Your show is great.
Thanks, man.
It always makes me want to read more comic books.
That is its
absolutely
job.
Absolutely the job of the show. So you're doing great work.
Thank you.
But yeah, you can find this show on Twitter at FMBN Podcast. We're on Facebook and Instagram at FMBN, the number 4 and letter U. And we will be back next time with another spooky episode. Until then, I am Josh.
And I'm Lance.
And this is the 4 Nerds by Nerds Podcast signing off.
Stay nerdy, my friends.